Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome on in to Cap and J-Hood. Tyler Aki and Jesse Rogers in for the guys today. Jess, I hope you enjoyed your long weekend because it's back to work for us. It's back to work for the Bears. And boy, do the Bulls also need to get back to work as well.
They need to start working. I don't know about getting back to work. They need to start working, though they did have that incredible modest three-game win streak, which ended with a thud last night. I was there, Tyler, so we're going to have to discuss that. Lots to talk regarding that game and what went on in the United Center, in the stands, as much as on the court. Have to get into that. But good to be with you. For once, not a lot of my gifts are going back. I'm wearing my favorite red flannel my wife got me.
All right.
I've hosted so many times after Christmas. I love doing the segment. Not like, what'd you get that you love? I always like doing, like, what's going back? What are you sending back? But these days, I feel like there's not a lot of returns. I don't know. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess you're putting it back on the Amazon truck, but, you know, it's not the same as the old days where you'd actually go back to the store and return it. But instead of asking what was your favorite gift, I like to ask after Christmas, what was the worst gift you got, right? It's just between us kids. Nobody else is listening. But anyway, I got this great flannel. I won't get into my worst gift just yet. I'll wait for the 9 o'clock hour while my wife's not listening.
You know, it's funny. I used to work in retail, and the worst week was the week after Christmas because it was all returns that you had to deal with, and it was also gift cards. Like, it was just people like swiping gift cards left and right. It was gift cards and returns. It was the worst week of the year to work. Anyway, let's get into the Bears here because they are fresh off their loss to, maybe not fresh off their loss to the Buffalo Bills, but cold one out on the lakefront. And I think the common theme for everyone that was a part of that game is they're just happy it's over in the rear view. And now you can kind of look ahead to these final two divisional games against Detroit and Minnesota. And the big kind of question now is, all right, we've seen stuff out of Justin Fields. He survived that cold game. I think Adam Archuleta is still calling for a couple more Justin Fields runs to happen in those games because the Bears did not utilize his legs. And I don't blame them for not utilizing his legs because of the conditions that were out there in that game. But a lot of people are now wondering, like, oh, have we maybe seen the last of Justin Fields? Because all of a sudden, the top pick is in play. After the Texans go out and win against the Titans on Saturday, and pull off the upset there, now the Bears are just a half game out of getting that number one overall pick. It's funny because we're a Roquan Smith interception away from maybe the Bears being in the driver's seat now for the number one overall pick.
So wait a minute. People are wondering, you used that phrase, are they wondering if they should sit Fields so we lose for sure these last couple games and get that pick potentially if Houston wins another one? Or are they wondering if they should sit Fields because there's nothing to play for at all and his health is more important and blah, blah, blah? Or what are we wondering? What are we wondering? Yes, we're wondering if we're going to get the first pick. That's the beauty of sports. We don't know because we don't know what's going to happen on the field the next two games. But are you saying, are we wondering if the Bears should coordinate themselves to lose that to lose these next two games for sure in order to get that pick? What are we wondering here? Because I'm confused by some of the stories that came out of Lake Forest yesterday.
So this was Matt Eberflus yesterday, okay? And he's pretty cutting to the point here. He was asked, will you consider resting Justin Fields the rest of the season?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Why? Because we got to get better. You know, we want to improve. We want to get our team. We want to see where we are. These last two games matter. They're division opponents to us. Very important to our football team to see the competition, to see guys, compete against our division. I think it's important for each man, and it's important for each unit, and it's important for our whole football team.
So I think he lays it out pretty to the point and direct there that we will not be seeing Justin Fields sit the rest of the season, barring some sort of injury, which, knock on wood, is not a part of the equation moving forward.
There's a lot of word salad in that answer about the division and whatever he said. He said that's coach speak to me. But here's my first hot take at 7:05 Tuesday morning, 312-332-3776. Is anybody else just tired of this storyline? I feel like I have talked about it before, Tyler. And I am not blaming Courtney Cronin, who we are going to have on. She wrote a story about this. Headline, Bears won't shut down quarterback Justin Fields for final two games. Every writer wrote a story about it. You heard the reporter ask that question. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm old school. Nobody asked Mike Ditka back in the day, you're out of it. Is Walter Payton sitting the last two games? Nobody asked Phil Jackson back in the day, you're out of it. Is Michael Jordan sitting the last two games? Not that the Bulls were out of it very often, but you get my drift. Why is this even a question? Now, if the question was, will you sit Fields in order to lose the last two games so you can potentially get the number one pick, I could live with that question, but that would be a bad question for Eberflus, meaning, you know, he would find it a question in poor taste. You can't ask a coach, are you purposely trying to lose a game? So if, again, he would give you some coach speak to answer that question. So you can't ask that. I don't know why the question's being asked at all, Tyler. This is a non-issue. If the guy is healthy enough to play, he plays. If you happen to win a game and you lose out on the first pick, so be it. So be it. Luckily, you are bad enough that there's a good chance you're going to lose these two games, and maybe Houston, who's been playing better, will win one. I actually think there's a chance they could win one of these two. I mean, one's the Vikings, for God's sakes. They're on the verge of losing every week. And
right.
Maybe the game against the Bears will be it. But am I wrong? This is a ridiculous storyline. Unless you're going to admit to shutting him down in order to lose on purpose, which no team or organization would ever say. And you don't make up an injury, because that's bad in the locker room. That's bad to Justin Fields. So the bottom line is you play to win, but luckily you're bad enough that you probably won't win.
Kind of what I've been saying the last couple of months is you look through the end of this season with how difficult the schedule is, the losses will take care of themselves. When you just look on paper for both teams, and I get it, it's the NFL, anything can happen on any given Sunday, but you've seen this Bears team all season long. The losses are going to take care of themselves for the most part. And when you look at this Texans team that's sort of seen a little resurgence, I mean, they're playing some solid football these last three games.
Yeah.
Sure, they're 1-2, but you hang with the Cowboys. You probably should have won that game against Dallas 2 weeks ago. And then last week, you go to overtime against the Chiefs. I mean, you're looking at a Texans team that's playing some inspired football here down the stretch, and you've got a game against the Jaguars with playoff implications for Jacksonville, and then you close out against the Colts, who were abysmal last night on Monday Night Football. There's a chance the Texans split this. I would say the chance of the Texans splitting is probably better than the chance of the Bears splitting when you look at the final two games.
That's a good question for our listeners. What has a better chance of happening, the Bears splitting or going 0-2, and compare that to the Texans splitting or going 0-2. I think you're right. Even though I think the Lions and Vikings are beatable, and when you're on an 8-game losing streak, something usually bounces your way eventually against two teams that can give it up, even though they're good teams, there's no doubt. But yeah, Houston, the idea of Houston beating Indianapolis is absolutely, of the four games possible, of the four outcomes in those four games, meaning the two with the Bears and the two with the Texans, them beating Indianapolis has to be at the top of the possibility list, right? Let me read this from Eberflus about the long-term objective in these two games. This is where I disagree. I think he's just giving you coach speak, but whatever. I would see value in that because we have to learn how to finish. We were at the game yesterday or 2 days ago. You saw it, right? It was the fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go. It was 21-13. We got the ball. We've got to learn how to finish. No, learning how to finish is when you have the ball up 21-13, okay? Winning against the Buffalo Bills would be a miracle. You were down 21-10, by the way, entering that quarter. So you've already gotten that field goal to draw with an 8, but you got to get a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and then another score. So that's not learning how to finish. Yes, you're going to have to learn how to come from behind here and there. I get that. But great teams have the lead in the fourth quarter. Aren't learning how to come from behind. I'm firmly in the Mark Silverman camp when it comes to this. You will learn how to win close games or and win in the fourth quarter when you have a better team, when you have better personnel. Don't worry about this learning how to win crap. But look, Eberflus is going to give you coach speak when you're 3-11 and what 3-12, 3-11, what are they?
3-12, yeah.
12, right. Mm-hmm. When you're 3-12, what else is he going to say? But I commend him for not doing any of this silly shutting down Justin Fields stuff.
Yeah. What do you think? Is this narrative just so out of control at this point? 312-332-3776. I think it's one of the more insane things that we've seen about Justin Fields this entire season. I feel like he's had to go through it all. I mean, back in training camp, you heard, Justin Fields should demand a trade because this team hasn't done anything. And just the narrative between Justin Fields and what things are going to look like with his future in Chicago this entire year, it's been a roller coaster for him. And I'm happy that we at least have one firm answer from this season. And that's that Justin Fields is the quarterback of the future. But I think the other thing too, that when you're looking at this Bears team, and Justin Fields, I think these are two important games. And I know you may find it to be coach speak, but I think it is important to go out and compete against your division, especially now that there's this game plan out there to try to limit Justin Fields' legs, right? And Waddle's talked about this a little bit too. It's one thing when you see Justin Fields the first time, right? And you're blown away. Like, you know his speed's there. But the one thing that may be catching some teams off guard is the strength that he also possesses to break through some of those sacks in the backfield or break a tackle 20, 30 yards downfield. And I think that when you're playing against a team for the second time, like they are going to get against the Lions and against the Vikings these next 2 weeks, I want to see how Justin Fields, all right, there's a team that now has seen you before and knows a little bit maybe how to game plan for you. What do you have now, kid? Let's see it.
Well, especially what happened last week with the Bills. I mean, teams are going to be looking at that. He didn't have much yardage, didn't scramble a lot, not a lot of design plays. Maybe it was because of the weather, although you'd think because of the weather they would have more design runs because they weren't going to throw the ball that much. Yeah, I agree with you. Let's see how they adjust because you know teams are going to take away the run as much as they can moving forward. There's tons of tape now going to the offseason. They're going to easily game plan for this, and they're going to force him to throw the ball. So the continued development of that balance is much needed. And maybe you're right, against divisional foes that are going to see him twice a year for the next 10 years or whatever, however long he is a Bear. So I can't even believe this is a storyline. No other player do we talk about, if he's healthy, sitting down. I don't get that. I don't even see that with other teams.
Right.
It's become some sort of weird storyline in this city. I'm dramatic about it. Like, okay, if you're going to shut him down now, you've been eliminated for weeks. Why didn't we shut him down the day you were eliminated? Why not? I mean, you know what I mean? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And I don't know if it's a media driven thing or a fan driven thing. Maybe that's why I want to hear from callers on it. Why anyone's even talking about shutting down a healthy-ish player? Healthy-ish. I mean, I know the he has a sore non-throwing shoulder. Mm-hmm. Couple other things, but look, everyone does. He's basically healthy.
Week 15, 16 in the NFL. Right. Like you're gonna be going through that. Yeah. Right, exactly.
For playing purposes, he's healthy. So I'm not sure why Courtney or anyone else even had to write a story about it.
Here's the thing that I look at too, is that you've got a chance to make no risk mistakes the rest of the season. These final two games, wins and losses don't matter in terms of the grand scheme of what you're trying to accomplish. You've got a chance to go out there and learn some things about yourself as a thrower of the football. And that's the next step in his development, is becoming this polished pocket passer that we saw at Ohio State. We want to see that now play out at the NFL level. He's taken significant strides this season in that regard, but there's still more to be done. And you've got a chance now where, okay, you may learn some things about yourself as a passer. You have a chance to go out there and make some mistakes, and it costs you nothing. Pretty much, because the wins and the losses don't matter. So go out. I want to see him take some risks throwing the football. Try to learn a little bit more about some of the NFL windows and stuff like that. Because I look at last season, and when he was getting some of those really early game reps, You saw, I think, a different player towards the end of the season, especially when you look at that Pittsburgh game from a season ago. You saw a different player. It felt like he understood the angles of the NFL a little bit better, and he was able to maneuver his way out of some traffic, get out of some sacks. I think even though he was thrown to the wolves in that Cleveland game in his first NFL start, where the game plan was absolutely atrocious, I think he learned a little bit about how fast the NFL was from that game, and it paid off for him when he got to that Pittsburgh game, and it's paid off for him even more now that we see him be the best runner of the football at the quarterback position in the entire National Football League.
And as I think about this, I know we have to break. Again, let's hear from people, 312-332-3776. As I think about this, I'm all for him playing the next two games, and if you win a game and Houston wins a game and you screwed yourself out of the one pick, so be it. I just think he should play. I do think they're going to win one of the next two. I don't think they're going to end the season on a 10-game streak. Like I said before, I think you agree. The Lions or Vikings are just good enough to give up a game against a team like the Bears. They're going to win one of the next two. And Houston's probably going to win one of the next two, and so be it. You've got the number two pick. But I don't think he should sit for everything you just said, and just even the message it sends. We have a healthy player, but we're sitting him. It's a terrible message.
Yeah.
It's a terrible message. We're paying a guy a ton of money, but we're going to sit him. For what reason, I don't know. Because I mean, the idea of a career-ending injury in the next 2 weeks, well, there's always a percentage, but I just don't buy it.
Then what, are we just going to play him in the playoffs? Like that,
right,
that,
exactly.
Then what are you doing at that point?
Put bubble wrap around him. But I actually think they're going to win one of the next two. I don't know which one, but I think they're winning. I actually think it'd probably be home against Minnesota. I actually think they'll win the final game.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it looks like Minnesota is actually going to have something to play for, too. But what do you think? How important is that number one overall pick? Or does it not really matter to you as a Bears fan? Are you all right with having the number two overall pick? 312-332-3776. Tyler Aki, Jesse Rogers in for Cap'n Jay Hood.
Cap'n Jay Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Cap'n Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Do, da, dippity. You can go with this, or you can go with that. You can go with this, or you can go with that. I think you can go with this, because this is kind of fat.
Tyler Aki and Jesse Rogers in for Cap'n Jay Hood on this Tuesday morning. Hope everyone had a nice long holiday weekend. Jesse's got some Bulls thoughts that he wants to get to. He was at the game last night. Oh, that was ugly last night, wasn't it, Jess? We'll get to that in a little bit. Also, of course, Shot or No Shot coming up at 8. We'll talk to Albert Breer as well, 8:35, as they always do here on Cap'n Jay Hood. And Courtney Cronin will join us at 9:15 and Worst Weekends at 9:35. Looking forward to all of that here on Cap'n Jay Hood. But we're talking right now the Bears and Justin Fields. How ridiculous is this narrative? The Bears sitting Justin Fields. Matt Eberflus nixed it pretty quickly yesterday when he was asked about it in his press conference when he addresses the media every single Monday. But we want to hear from you. Is that number one pick important enough to you where you're willing to sit Justin Fields for the final two games of the season? 312-332-3776. That's where we find Eddie. He's on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Boys, this ridiculous talk. We have Justin Fields, a franchise quarterback that throws 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 2 years. That's laughable. It's exactly what I say. No quarterback out of Ohio State will become elite in the NFL. That is ridiculous talk of a franchise quarterback. A third stringer can do better than that.
A third stringer, Eddie?
It's exactly what the stats say. It is not no makeup stuff. When you have 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, that is horrid. And that's what got Jameis Winston knocked out of Tampa Bay. Brady came in and won a Super Bowl for them. Did that not happen because he could not take care of the football?
All right, Eddie. Well, we appreciate the phone call there.
I'm just guessing Eddie has made that call here a lot. I never hear him mention Peyton Manning's first year. Okay, and I know.
Oh, Jesse, are you getting in line for Taylor Swift tickets right now? What's going on there?
Exactly. Come on. Like, we're starving here for a quarterback. I hate these calls. We're starving. Is he the perfect quarterback? Is he the rookie of the year, MVP in waiting? No, of course not. But he has talent. He has shown improvement. Before we call a bust in Chicago, give a guy a break. Give a guy a chance, in this town especially. So there's plenty of quarterbacks that had rough first and second years, and in particular, you know, quarterbacks that didn't have anybody around him, right? In fact, Manning had more around him, to be honest, his first year in Indianapolis.
There's nothing. The cupboard is so bare.
Yeah, exactly. Just hold off on that call, Eddie. I feel like you've made it a bunch. A couple tweets here. The concern is the injury that takes next season out of play, not this season, Dave Todd tweets. I think he should play, though. Okay, at least he ends it with that. Okay, I understand you're talking about ACLs and things like that. Then why didn't – then someone answer me that believes that. Why didn't we shut them down the day they were eliminated from the playoffs? Which, by the way, in our world was day one. We knew they weren't making the playoffs. So what – but officially, if you want to do it – why didn't we eliminate – sit them down 3 weeks ago whenever the Bears were eliminated? If that's how you want to play this thing, okay, then he can never play in the preseason and he immediately has to stop playing as soon as you're eliminated from the postseason. It's ridiculous. You don't play – You don't play to avoid injury. You don't not play to avoid injury. You just play the game. And if injury happens, it happens. That's how the world works when it comes to professional sports. You don't try to avoid injury. You play, and if it happens, it happens.
And sometimes that's the way to get injured, too, is to think about it too much, right? Like, what do they always say? If you're going, like, half speed, you're actually more likely to get injured when you're going half speed than you are if you're going full speed sometimes out there. So Gorman is in Mount Greenwood. Gorman, you're on Cap and Jay Hood with Tyler and Jesse in for the guys today.
Morning, fellas. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. Talking about sitting Fields, I think they should have sat him a few games ago at least, because if you look at it objectively, strictly as a profit and a loss type thing, like a business decision, you're not gaining anything. Even if you win out, you're losing. And look at the kid out in San Francisco, Trey Lance, two or three games into the season, broken ankle. And, he's done, I'm sure, in hindsight. They would have rather started Garoppolo for 10 or 12 games and then eased him in. But, they're past that now. So, to me, you had the field. They said it was like concrete getting tackled out there on Saturday. So, you just have to ask yourself, what are you going to gain by playing him versus the potential loss? And I'll just hang up and listen now. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Gorman. I think you saw the game plan, I think, get tailored to – protecting Justin last week against the Bills, because you knew that if Justin Fields was going to hit that turf, it was going to hurt a little bit more this week than it would in the prior 14 games that they'd played in so far this season. And I think that's why we saw a limited number of runs. And I think Luke Getsy, Matt Eberflus, they've worked together to craft a game plan that's smart for Justin Fields and is going to keep his best interest at hand this entire time, too. I think we're seeing it a little bit with Jalen Johnson. I think they're being smart with things here. Jalen Johnson shut down for the season because they just wanted to play it smart and not risk making this something long-term with his ring finger that he broke a couple weeks ago.
I mean, obviously, what you have to gain is just progress, right? What you have to get. But it's also just that's not how a team works. You don't sit down a leader and tell him you're not playing and make up a reason for it.
I don't think Justin would stand for it either.
No, nobody will. Nobody would. Heck, if I was his agent, I wouldn't. But that's a whole other story. I mean, if I was a teammate, I would look at my coach and be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? If I'm the left tackle on this team, if I'm Braxton, I'm like, I go to war every day. I'm playing, but he doesn't have. It's just a bad, so many layers to it that are bad, that are bad. Now, again, I understand. That's the funny thing. I want him to play and I want him to lose, but I want him to play great and the team to lose, because I also am not one of these goofballs that thinks they get something special out of winning in the fourth quarter. It was ours to be had. You were down 21-10. What are you going to learn?
Right.
Get up 21-10. Then I'll be impressed by you. Here's another tweet from David Allen. I think regardless of what the pick the Bears end up with, trading back should be their plan. I suppose if no team wows them to move back, they should take Carter or Anderson. Yeah, I think that's the prevailing thought.
Yeah.
It's Carter or Anderson, or if you get a package, you move back. I think that all makes sense.
I do want to look at what some of the first overall pick draft packages have looked like over the course of years. Maybe we'll do that in just a little bit. But Dave's on the Dan Ryan. Dave, you're on Cap and Jay Hood. What's going on?
Morning, guys. I love the show. I just think that they should at least start Fields. I think the average fan – they want to see a winner. They understand that you're not going to have a team in, built in a year, but they don't want to see their team give up. You know, they want to see a competitive team. It's put something out there to win a game, and they have the ability to possibly win these next two games in their division and at least end the year on a positive note and give Fields a little more time. If the games start to go south, they can pull them in. You know, put somebody else in there. I mean, that's just my thoughts.
I it's kind of what he's presenting, Tyler, is a win-win scenario.
Yeah.
I agree. There's more benefit to losing. I think getting the pick is more important because come April, I don't want to be talking about the seventh pick in the draft. And we'll look back at these two wins as some glorious thing. No, I mean, if they win these two, it's wonderful for Fields, wonderful for confidence, but it actually hurts them in the long term. At least I think so. Other people might disagree, but at least he will have improved in some matter. What if he threw for 300 and ran for 100 one of these next two games? We'd be like, yeah. Oh my God, what if, you know? So yes, every game is a test and a chance to improve and all these things. But again, I think the higher pick is more important than winning these two games. I will say that. But if you do and he plays great, there is some benefit in all of that. You go into the offseason with this idea that he can pass and he can run if you win it that way. So, there's a win-win scenario. But he has to be on the field for that to happen.
Right. Listen, I think it's ridiculous if they do end up sitting him. But I don't see that this – I don't see this staff – and this team being that sort. And listen, maybe Ryan Poles internally thinks to himself, oh, it would be nice if my first real full off season, I had the number one overall pick and 100+ million in cap space. I mean, that's a dream scenario for a GM, right? But at the same time, I think he does realize that there's still a lot to do with Justin Fields. There's still a lot that he has to learn about being a quarterback in the NFL. And you're not going to learn a lot of that. You're not going to learn it if you're just sitting on the sidelines for these final couple of games. 312-332-3776. What do you think? Do you want to see Justin Fields out there? Or have you seen enough? It's time to take a knee for Justin Fields for the rest of the season. We want all your calls. 312-332-3776. Tyler Rocky and Jesse Rogers in for Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
In for Cap'n Jay Hood this morning. Thanks for making us a part of your morning. 312-332-3776. Talking all things Bears, and the number one pick now is within sight. It didn't seem like this was going to be a Texans team that was going to make this an interesting conversation here as we sit here on December 27th, inching closer and closer to the new year. But all of a sudden, a little shock win by the Texans over the weekend and another Bears loss all of a sudden has the Bears half a game out of taking home that number one overall pick. And boy, you can get quite the haul with the number one overall pick too. We'll look at some of the recent ones that have been flipped in the last couple of seasons. But Lionel is in Evanston. He wants to talk Justin Fields. Lionel, what's up? You're on Cap'n Jay Hood with Tyler Rocky and Jesse Rogers.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Happy holidays to you.
You as well, you Lionel.
Thank you. I am just, I'm amazed at the outcome of this season as far as fans' perspective, media's perspective about sitting Justin Fields. This is basically this kid's rookie season. One, two, we started the season as he was our future. Then it went to, well, we don't know if he is the future, to, oh, he is our future. He gets hurt. Oh, let's put him in bubble wrap before the season's over. Makes no sense to me. This kid's going to benefit from the experience that he's gaining right now. We just finished playing the Eagles and the Bills, two of the best teams in the league, and he
kept us within like a score. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were supposed to have one of the worst teams in the NFL, and we didn't get blown out once, except for maybe the Packers. But the other games that we lost by double digits, we were in the games until the fourth quarter. This team, we should sit back and enjoy this, because in my opinion, we are not going to see these days again. Our trajectory is so far going up, it is insane. And a lot of free agents are going to want to come and play in Chicago with this kid. Because if you notice, after every game, he just gets lauded by every team, every players, and the coaches. I want to sit back and listen to what you guys think and say. Have a great day. Enjoy your year, gentlemen. Thank you.
You as well, Tyler, Lionel.
I think that's a great call. Those are great points. He's exactly right. If you're one of those people that enjoys the journey, I've done it with two teams. Mm-hmm. Being a reporter on the Blackhawks and then the Cubs, the journey is great. And these are the times that you're going to look back and remember. And you don't want to look back and remember him sitting when he was healthy, because, like you said, he put him in bubble wrap. Yeah, Tyler, you know I've been a reporter probably longer than you've been alive, I hate to say it, in this town.
Yep.
And I, again, am not blaming Courtney Croner or any other reporter. It has become sort of a topic du jour these last few weeks, the idea of sitting him. But it's just a weird story that she had to write. The first sentence, the Chicago Bears will not shut down quarterback Justin Fields. Normally, the story would be even needed if the first sentence was the Chicago Bears will shut down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't have to. You don't normally have to write a story about something the team is not doing. You know, I don't. It's weird. It's weird that the Chicago Bears will not be, I don't know, fill in the blank. It's just if they're doing something different, that's a story. Sitting him would be different. The Chicago Bears will be shutting down Justin Fields. Big headlines. Put it in lights. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bears, for no reason at all, will not be shutting him down. It just doesn't make sense to even need a story. But this thing has gained momentum. And like I said, I've been a reporter a long time. I feel unless a guy is hurting, and it's a 50-50 proposition, that's a different story. And the sore shoulder or whatever, that's not enough to have to write a story that they're not shutting him down. So it's really weird as a reporter to see that. And as a fan, I feel like it's really strange as well. I can't recall the last time we've talked about a healthy player and maybe not playing the last two games for no reason at all.
And listen, we're not having this conversation if the Texans end up losing to the Titans this past weekend, right? Otherwise, it's kind of business as usual, and having this conversation.
But one tweeter said, hey, Jesse, they've been talking about people have been talking about this since the day the Bears were eliminated, which, again, is ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Now, I'm with you there. Listen, I don't want to see him be shut down for the rest of the season, because I think there's still progress to be made here in 2022 with Justin Fields. Brian, he's in Calumet City. You're on Cap and Jay Hood with Tyler and Jesse. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What you got, Brian?
I just want to touch base on Justin Fields. I mean, how many years have the Bears trying to acquire a quarterback? He's a good quarterback, but the problem is he has no tools. And the sooner or later, the defensive players are going to get him. On other teams, they're going to get him, and they're going to hurt him.
Well, Brian, appreciate the phone call there. The defensive players have gotten to Justin Fields. If you look at the sacks over the course of the season, you look at the hits, and you look at not just that, but some of the hits that are uncalled when he's sliding down and trying to get down as opposed to take a hit.
Okay.
And you're still seeing some of the late hits. Listen, it's going to happen. He plays football. He's going to get hit. It's part of the game. And to want him to sit out because you want to wrap him up in bubble wrap for the rest of the season, I think is quite foolish. Because
not only that, he wants to sit him out until we have a team around him. Is
yeah.
that what we should do? When do we determine? Who determines when there's a team around him? What, give me the date that happens, or the acquisition that makes it. Peyton Manning went 1-15. And as far as I know, was started every game. I didn't look, you know, maybe he didn't start one or two, whatever. What that team went 1-15, and he played and he played and he played. And you know what? The next year he was better for it. And the next year after that, he was better for it. And this guy doesn't have the talents that Peyton Manning had. It's a ridiculous argument, 100% ridiculous argument.
Listen, Jess, the Cubs didn't wait to call up Anthony Rizzo, right? They went out. They
until
didn't
the team
wait
was around him.
Right, right. Like, you want him to be the foundational piece, because as I think you alluded to a little bit earlier, players are going to want to play with a guy like Justin Fields. They're not going to know who the full Justin what the full Justin Fields experience is if he doesn't go out and show them for the rest of this season, for these final two games. You're not going to, there's no faith without evidence, right? You need to continue to build up some pieces of evidence that you're a foundational guy for this team and that other players are going to say, you know what? That's a guy that I think can win a Super Bowl one day. He can be the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team. I want to go play with that guy.
If I'm a starting player on that team and you're asking me to work my butt off all week and you say, hey, this guy should sit down because we want to avoid injury, I don't respect you as a coach as much
anymore. I'm with you.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Real quick, I do want to go through some of these. The last couple times a number one overall pick has been traded. You go back to 2016. It's been traded five times over the course of history. And I think that you look at the different eras where it's been traded. The most relevant is the 2016 NFL draft where Jared Goff was the coveted number one overall pick. And the Titans made the swap back with the Rams. And you look at the haul that came in for the Titans in that draft. You look at some of the pieces that came back. You're talking about a team that got Derrick Henry back in that trade, ultimately with a draft pick in that. But there's some pretty big hauls. I think, though, the real telltale of how we value picks and how we value players now, you kind of go back to actually the draft that Justin Fields was a part of. And you go back to the 2021 NFL draft, and even though it wasn't the number one overall pick, but this was a quarterback-coveted draft, and I think that's what you're going into this season when you look at the top of the board with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. So this is what the 49ers gave up to go up and get Trey Lance at the number three overall pick. Again, this is number three, not number one, number three overall pick to draft a quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers traded up. They sent their 2021, 2022, and 2023 first rounders along with a third round pick in 2022. So you're talking three firsts and a third getting sent to the Dolphins. And you look at the artillery that they used to go out and try to retool their team, that Dolphins team. That's a pick that was used to go out and acquire a number one receiver in Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Well, how far up did San Francisco move?
I believe they were in the teens, I want to say.
So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
And not
look, if Poles gets an offer like that, you said three first rounders.
Yep.
He's going to take it. He's going
to
take it.
You'll take it and you'll run to the bank with it.
There's no doubt in my mind.
And not only that, too, I believe the quarterbacks in this draft at the top are generally considered to be of higher grade than Trey Lance.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that, Charlie. Charlie Bevin's producing with us today. And then, I mean, think about it, too. Even the Bears. Like, think about what was given up to go. You swapped first-round picks with the Giants. You threw in a first-round pick as well. So there's plenty to be had with moving up to go and get a quarterback. The last time the number one overall pick was traded, I mentioned 2016. That was when the Rams traded a first-rounder, two second-round picks, as well. And that was just in the 2016 draft. Then in the 2017 draft, a first and a third round pick. Now, a couple picks also went back the Rams' way, too. But you just look at how much draft capital you can acquire. And I think when you're Ryan Pace and this roster is as barren as it is right now, you want as many bullets in the chamber to go out and try to make something happen so that you can. Listen, I think you're going to see a lot of mistakes with Ryan Poles. But I think part of why you will see mistakes is that he's going to have so many chances to make them, whereas you're going to still see a pretty high amount of successful pieces, too, that come in and help this team.
Yeah, I mean, it takes the right deal in the right moment, right? A team, like you said, in the mid-teens that doesn't need a quarterback. I mean, Jacksonville right now is drafting like 19, but they don't need a quarterback, right?
Right.
And you need some competition among teams that are sort of near each other. Or at the top of the draft that need one. The Bears don't need one. Houston probably needs one, but they're going to get one if they want one. And then you look, I mean, Denver lost theirs, right, to Seattle. So
yeah, like, I don't think they've got a chance to trade for anything.
Arizona, you know, Indianapolis, like who's going to make that jump? Atlanta, Carolina, any of these teams could do it. So It's got to be the right deal in the right moment, and you got to have some competition. Otherwise, you're just going to wait for that quarterback to drop a little bit. So it'll be interesting. A lot that goes into it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, now is your chance to win a Lou Malnati's gift card. Be caller number 5 right now, 312-332-3776. Regular line, 312-332-3776. Chance to win a Lou Malnati's gift card. Be caller number 5 right now. Jesse was at the Bulls game. He's going to break down what he saw between the Bulls and Rockets and his entire United Center experience. That's all coming up next. Tyler Rocky, Jesse Rogers in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Tyler Rocky, Jesse Rogers sitting in for the guys today. Congrats to Chris Hennessy, our winner of the Lou Malnati's gift card. And Jesse, you saw the glorious, glorious three-game win streak come to an end for the Chicago Bulls last night, 133-118 at the United Center. I know you're fired up about the Bulls because I remember around this time last year, you talking about how the Bulls had like invigorated your family to the point where that weren't watching basketball were watching NBA basketball on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah, that's not easy to do, right? Turn a non-fan into a fan, but they certainly did that with my daughter last year, who now actually plays freshman basketball in part because she started to like the Bulls.
That's awesome.
That much. Isn't that interesting how likable, because that's also part of it. It's just not winning. It's also how likable they were. And, and as you can imagine, She was 13 at the time. She really fell in love with Io, right? Like, I think feel like young fans really love Io. He's a fan favorite. Gets announced last night. I think he had the biggest cheer because he started, of course, without Caruso available.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this team has turned it from, in a matter of a year to from a very likable team to a very not so likable team. Yes, they had that three-game win streak after that little blow up in Minnesota. That was great. They worked hard. They played good defense. And then in some ways you could say they gave it all back yesterday, because if you want to keep inching towards 500, you probably need to win games against 9 and 23 teams, right? That's probably what you need to do. But, man, if you just take last night in a vacuum, if it was the first game you saw all season, you'd come out of there saying the Rockets would beat them if they played 10 times, 9 of them. 9 of them. If you just looked at that game, I would take – 3 players on the Rockets over anybody on the Bulls. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, and this and the center, Alperen Şengün. I would take any one of those 3 over anybody on the Bulls based on last night. Now, we know that's not going to be completely true every night. There's no way these guys on Houston are going to shoot like that again. But 60 points in the paint. 60 points in the paint by Houston. And this wasn't all just dumping it down low to Şengün, though they could have, because that's how bad Vukovic was yesterday. They could have. A lot of these were just layups in the paint, easy points in the paint, not just by the big men, but by everyone. Some comparison, some context to this. For this season, the New Orleans Pelicans, average 50. It's Memphis. I'll do it this way. On the road. To be more specific, on the road, New Orleans averages 56 points in the paint. Okay, that's the most in the NBA. The least in the NBA is Dallas, 39. So 39 to 56 is your range on the road, points on the paint per game. The Bulls gave up 60 to the Houston Rockets. Let me repeat that.
The third worst team in the NBA.
Who shoot the lowest field goal percentage in the league. They gave up 60 points in the paint, 4 points more than the best road team averages for the season. They were terrible on defense, as always. Now, I will say this. Of course, it's not always about execution, not always about effort. Sometimes it's about personnel. And last night, I actually thought it was more about personnel than effort. In previous bad defensive games, it certainly has been about effort. So combine poor effort with bad personnel, And that's why you end up giving up 133 points. Again, I think it was more personnel than anything. Derek Jones Jr. was out. Alex Caruso was out. And obviously they're playing without Lonzo Ball. A young athletic team is exactly the bad matchup for this Bulls team. Yeah. When you have a plodding half-court team, they can get away with it a little bit more. They moved the ball up and down a lot, Houston did, and it showed in the paint with these easy buckets. Just awful. So whether it be execution or effort, both were in poor display last night for the Chicago Bulls. And it got so bad, and here's the biggest point I can make. It got so bad, Tyler, they started doing the wave at the United Center.
I don't know if I've ever seen the wave at the United Center.
What I texted my buddy Seafood Dennis, who I often quote on this show. Seafood Dennis has season tickets to every team in town. He's never seen the wave at the United Center. I don't think I've ever seen it at Soldier Field. He agreed. You're exactly right. It's a bunch of yahoos during the holidays coming to town and doing the wave. But that's how, I will say this, that's how bad the Bulls were last night, that people had to find entertainment elsewhere. This is the topic the next 2 hours, not the Bulls. Have you ever seen the wave at the United Center? I don't think I thought maybe it was.
You covered a lot of games there too, Jess.
Yeah, I thought maybe, hey, Jesse, you're old. The last 10, 12 years they've been doing the younger group. No, I agree. I think most people would. I've never seen the wave done at the United Center. It's these yahoos from Iowa that are in town for the holidays. They think it's cool to do the wave. But I blame this on the Bulls. You were so bad in the fourth, because it happened in the fourth quarter. You were so bad. They were so bad in the first, people were sort of on the edge, ready to boo. They take the lead at halftime, good second quarter, and then just completely crap the bed in the third quarter, and that's when the wave started.
All right. And
no excuse for doing the wave.
Nope, I'm with you there. Shot or no shot, coming up in 2 minutes on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap, and Jay Hood. Jay Hood, mornings on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.